Welcome to episode 45 of Skyjacks, Courier's Call. I'm your host and narrator, Drew Merzieski. I'm joined by Allison Grauer, Lomi Pertap, and Eric Atano-Saez to bring you a story of adventure, skyships, mail carriers, and kids, just like you. Last time, June's magic caused quite an uproar at the bird yard, and now pretty much everybody knows she can talk to birds. Meanwhile, Braith had his meeting with the Audrin captains about his promotion, and the other apprentices enjoyed strange, sweet fizzy drinks at Sleazy's Kids Tavern. Now it's time for the all-Audrin dinner, but what other surprises await us on the road to prom? Heed the call, couriers. Stand to, and let's fly.
Gone are the days when it was easy to ride.
Sing it way, hey, ho.
But the years haven't withered my joy and my pride.
Sing it way, hey, ho.
I've never been much for the pistol or blade.
Sing it way, hey, ho.
For the sun is my course and the sky is my trade.
Sing it way, hey, ho.
My mother, she told me that life would be fine if you're free with the water but savor the wine, and to never be hurried but always on time.
Singing way, hey, ho. Singing way, hey, ho.
What's there? What is the food that has been prepared for you guys? I'd like everyone to tell me something that's there.
I have in front of me, there's an array of smoked vegetables.
Ooh.
And just because I want to be able to make the joke, I whisper to June and Kieran, yeah, I brought an offering to the Forest Queen too. I brought the smoke and she didn't want it.
June, high five, Cece.
That's all I wanted to say, but no, there is an array of smoked vegetables. That have like a really nice crispness to them, that they are the most perfect. And my point is, you can tell that there's like an absurd amount of love and labor put into this food that I am, Cece's kind of like blown away. She's used to eating like, you know, Audrin food's good, but this is like, oh wow, they must have been preparing for like 2 days straight.
Yeah. There's like, they're like sliders.
Okay.
Okay. I did not expect
like burgers, but small,
small burgers. But instead of so the bread is obviously homemade, and and you know it's very like each of the top of the buns has like a design like kneaded into it, like challah bread. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And instead of just like a burger, it's like a really nice little cut of steak. And there's like some. There's like a spiciness to the sauce on there and little bits of like super sharp cheddar in there. It's good stuff, okay?
So the Forest Queen also brought beef, is what you're saying.
She has a beef with us, yes.
Kieran,
gotta squash that beef.
A beef, yes.
Kieran.
There is squash here too.
It's absolutely squash.
There's squash on the sliders. We have squashed the beef.
We have squashed the beef with the Forest Queen.
Kieran,
that sounds
what
so
you
good.
Got? What do you see here?
I think
here?
There is a course of soup for everyone. But it's everyone's favorite type of soup.
Yes.
So what I have, what Kieran has in front of them is different from what June has in front of her and what Cece has in front of her and all the way down the table. So like Kieran has this sort of stew thing going on that looks kind of like it's got that beautiful sheen of oil and chili at the top of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like next to them, maybe Bran has like just a really good smelling, savory smelling like potato leek soup. It's different all the way across all of the tables, but it's that person's individual favorite soup. And it's like, how did they know?
How did they do that? Bobby Jean.
Well, there are, of course, the fried dippers. What are fried dippers? Well, those are different fried things that are served with home honey.
Mm.
The spiced honey that is, you know, key to the honey smoke region. It is not their barbecue sauce, the honey-based quadrant of the honey smoke mountains. It is instead home honey, which is just a thicker spiced honey, not exactly a sauce, more just honey, but it's it's got a good mix of spices in it. And of course, there's some fried okra there. There are some hush puppies and what Bobby Jean calls cheesy fried mash, which is mashed potatoes, like twice baked potatoes, where you scoop out the baked potatoes, you mix in cheese, then it is balled up and breaded and fried. And you dip that in the home honey, and it is the most delicious thing you can possibly imagine.
There is absolutely a pasta dish.
Nice.
Yeah. There's like, I think there's several pasta dishes.
Braith's a pasta boy.
He likes pasta. He's got likes a carbo to keep those muscles tight.
Gotta.
Know? Yeah.
Gotta.
Carbs.
Braith, I have a question.
Yeah.
Are you sitting with the Red Audrin, or are you sitting up
I was about to ask you where... If he walked in, where would they seat him intentionally?
Well, there's no other, like, initiates other than the initiates that are on, like, the boats and stuff like that. So there's nobody wearing green coats. So I think you are, I would say, at the main table with everybody.
Bobby Jean has not registered that Braith is not returning the Red Audrin yet. And Bobby Jean, keeps trying to wave down, like, someone new staff, but of course they use sleight of hand and close-up magic to deliver food, and there was no wait staff. So Bobby's like, we need another chair here. He leans over to one of the raccoons on the, excuse me, garçon. I believe we're just down a chair over here. I don't know if a manager is available.
The raccoon reaches over to Bobby Jean's like plate and like takes a couple of hush puppies and then leaves.
Yeah, Bobby Jean, like, sees the animal take his food, and, like, I think there's a moment where the raccoon is, like, holding these two hush puppies, like, staring down Bobby Jean. Bobby Jean, like, thinks that, like, okay, I've bribed this raccoon and, like, tries to give it a conspiratorial wink, but that transaction is over, and he just got jacked by a raccoon.
We see that there's it's a jolly good time. Lots of food, lots of everything you could possibly think. Your favorite food is there, dear listener. Whatever is there, that is what's there. And about halfway through the meal, there is a ding, 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 as somebody like taps on a glass. Everyone for the first time kind of looks up at the main table. You see that like the captains are there, the captains and their quartermasters and their star watchers for each of the Audrins. Braith is up there kind of awkwardly kind of sitting there looking.
Continues to scoot his chair lightly to, like, get away from center stage.
And
collar popped.
Like. Bobby leans over to Brant. Oh, they must be giving Braith an award for being so brave and handsome. That's got to be it. That's
yeah,
why he's up
yeah,
there.
Bobby Jean. Yeah, that's exactly why. It's going to be okay, buddy. We see also up on that table, there is Patience Rebecca is there. Two or three other people. The postmaster of this particular area is up there. We see that there is Zuri, who is the Black Lily that services this area. They are up there as well. And in the center, where there's a seat, Coriander Swiftwell would be sitting there, but Coriander is not there. Instead, we see Ard sitting in that seat. And Ard is the one tapping on the glass.
Oh, is that Ard?
Well, who's this old guy who's sitting where Coriander usually sits?
Yeah, he's like older than Coriander.
Is that Ard?
No, it could be Ard.
Okay, so it is someone older than Coriander.
Yeah, totally.
We're really narrowing it down.
We see Ard standing up there, clanking the glass. He goes, hello, couriers, apprentices, adepts, initiates, and the other Audrins.
Woo!
Woo! Yes! Yes. I'm obviously not Coriander. I'm Ard. Ard
Blackmore.
I feel like that kind of just echoes out throughout the thing. Like, Ard is known, right?
Yeah, like people go,
like people know Ard. Yeah, Ard.
Yeah, Ard.
Thank you. Thank you. Most of you know me from your novice days. Unfortunately, Coriander cannot be here tonight. He's usually here. He loves Audrin Prom. It's his favorite time of year. But he could not be here tonight. So he asked that I be here to give a speech and be here in his stead. It's great to see all of your faces, to see the growth that you've had. I remember so many of you as novices. And now look at you, out here, working hard, righting wrongs and doing mercies. I am proud of all of you and the work you do. We are officially about halfway through your route, and I'm sure you all have had wonderful adventures. And I cannot wait to hear about them and to celebrate your triumphs and to commiserate in your low points, your tragedies. It is my honor to be here and stand in Coriander's stead. Know that I'm here to help in any way, shape, or form that you need. If you need to speak to Coriander, think of it like you're speaking to me, and I will make sure Mr. Coriander gets the words that you wish him to hear. I send you his love and his pride in you. I know he thinks about all of you constantly and wishes you to know that you're doing great. Is that good? He like looks over at Patience Rebecca and she nods. So let's finish up eating. And at that point, we will...
So outside, there is the tolling of a melodious heart bell, a sweet ringing that can only be silver. In the skies over the Honey Smoke Mountains, we can see a ship of full weave lit in the air, engines burning hot, preparing a landing. The ship itself has a hull that is painted entirely. There are, of course, some attempts to seal and paint Audryn ships and various accessories that fly on the Audryns, but for the most part, they are like other ships on Sphere, unpainted, because paint is expensive and wears away easily in the storms of the sky. This ship, though, is painted a deep purple, and it has another distinguishing feature. This ship looks as though it has seen many battles. There are dozens of cannons that line either side of the ship, but there are also mixed in with the purple streaks and cracks of gold. When there are boards and planks that need to be fully replaced, they are replaced with gold-painted boards and planks. When there are boards that simply need to be repaired, they are sealed in with a mixture of gold dust and a special kind of sap that heals back just as strong and flexible as wood. This ship is Olivia Youngblood's personal yacht. It takes a much smaller crew, but it is out in full force. The ship hovers below the impressive skyship port for the Honey Smoke region that is made to not only accommodate all the Audryns, but any other rough and tumble privateer vessels that Coriander and his friends might have flown back in the days. And this ship lowers into that, and there is a hurried procession from the ship itself into this tree cathedral, this hall. And we can see people dressed in the golds and purples of the Youngblood family, with Youngblood family crests worn on their lapels. It is the stag, the silver stag, atop the gold and purple checkered background. These soldiers are of a different quality than I believe the Youngblood soldiers that you have seen in your past. These are folk who have clearly seen action on many fronts. They are dressed fine, but they have skin that is also tough and weathered. They are covered in scars, but of course, the scars are only the most stylish type of scar. And in the middle of this procession is Olivia Youngblood, dressed in a, I think, naval-themed suit. It is clearly, like, finery, clearly something that you would wear to a formal event, but it's also not bringing out full stops on that finery, kind of like formal military dress. She enters the cathedral and tries to, sneak in, realizing like there is something going on, and she like signals to her soldiers to stop, and she like shoots a nervous look around the room to find Denison and like
We see Dennison sitting up at the front. As Olivia comes in, Ard is standing there, and we see Dennison stand up and like put his hand on Ard. He goes, don't worry, Mr. Blackman. I'll take care of this. Olivia!
Danny.
Welcome. You are fashionably late, as always.
Sorry, got tied up in a few things. This is so charming. Thank you all so much for having me. Gentlemen, if you will. And the, like, people that she has brought with her, like, bring out chests around the room. And, like, they set them down in front of, like, the various dining tables as she makes her way over to the main table where she assumes she is sitting. And she snaps her fingers and they all open these chests. And inside there are chocolate truffles. Extremely, like, fragrant and rare smelling chocolate truffles. I did think it would be rude to show up without some sort of an offering or gift. So these come from our private reserve.
Why, thank you, Olivia. That's quite kind of you. You lot. And he, like, yells out to all the Audrins, and they all kind of turn, dig in. And I think all the kids, like, yeah, and they all get up and immediately just, like, grab handfuls of, unceremoniously begin grabbing handfuls of chocolates.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, stuffing it. We see it becomes like a bit of a melee for a moment as children, like, reach over and, like, grab these chocolates. And before you know it, they're empty. We see Bobby Jean, like, sitting over to the side, just, like,
fistfuls
of chocolate.
Biting into fistfuls of different chocolates like an apple.
At the same time.
10 different chocolates as though it is one unit of thing.
Did he just flip up his shirt and use it as a big bucket? Mm-hmm. And so he's just got like a shirt full of chocolate.
To which Dennison goes, please come sit here next to me, Olivia. You'll be sitting between me and Ard here. To which Ard looks at Olivia and is, hello, welcome. You are most welcome.
Hello. I was told that you were much older and taller.
Thank you. I'm not. I think you mean Mr. Coriander?
I do. Are you not?
I'm not. I'm not Mr. Coriander. My name's Ard.
I was going to ask you who your magician is, but it is very nice to meet you, Ard.
That's very charming. Come, sit down. And he, like, pulls the chair out for her, and she comes and, like, sits down.
I could get used to the honey smoke region. She sits down.
If you don't mind, I was in the middle of a speech. If you don't mind me finishing.
Oh my goodness! I am. My apologies.
Of course. Last but not least, everyone, let us have a round of applause for our guest, Olivia Youngblood. And he looks at Dennison, and Dennison nods. Olivia Youngblood, everyone.
I think people start to clap, and then June stops clapping and looks at Cece and Kieran like, Youngblood?
Like the people who try to kill
Youngblood?
Us? Yeah. Like, the boo, boo.
There's Kieran, a stink face.
Kieran has like a bonbon halfway to their mouth and freezes. Suddenly.
Olivia does scan the room for red Audrin coats. Finds them, and then, like, very quickly, I think, June, Kieran, and Cece, her gaze settles on you, and she gives you a wink.
June crosses her arms.
Cece spits her truffle out into a napkin, like, blah, right, so she can see it, and goes, blah, blah, blah.
And a raccoon promptly takes the
yes.
truffle.
It's the same one, yeah.
There was just one.
Before we finish up eating and conversing and meeting new friends and enjoying the evening. Remember that after this, we will be taking the firelit walk up to the mansion. This is a good time for any of you that wish to have a partner for prom to ask them. And then we will go up and we will find clothes for all of you. Thank you so much. We appreciate you and the work you do, and the world does too. Take flight.
June goes, Ard!
Ard!
Thanks. Woo-hoo! He's like, oh, I'm done. Thank you. I'm so nervous. And like everyone kind of laughs as he goes and sits down again. And I think he leans over and kind of begins conversation with Olivia. And we see Dennison like, with an ear kind of turned to the whole thing, just like watching it, like supervising a little bit. But I think the dinner goes on uneventfully and comes to an end. Everyone cleans up. That's something that happens. Like at the end of it, everyone like takes their plates and they put them in like in the center. Those will be taken away to be like cleaned and stuff like that later. But there is like work to be done. And we see that like the captains and everyone does the same thing. Like they also like pick up things and they also work. And Ard turns to Olivia and goes, oh, don't feel like you have to like get up and help. I'll happily take that. And like,
now, what do you take me for? Some young blood cousin?
No, I would say not. I would say you are the Olivia Youngblood.
Indeed. I am the eldest daughter of the Youngblood line, and only, so it's not that impressive. But she says this as she is unbuttoning her, like, coat buttons and rolling up her sleeves. But on my ships, everyone works.
To which Ard smiles and he goes, I completely agree. And we see everyone kind of go and clean up and finish up with all that. There are lanterns. The lanterns that have been kind of set around, everyone goes and picks those up. We see Mulden and Ruby, they go to like a path and they like are very quiet for a second, but we see lit up down this path, little fires that are lit all the way up this path between the two of them. And they walk forward, continuing to light fires as they go. As this procession of lantern-held Audrin kids and captains, and also like some of the town as well, as they kind of come through, make this quiet woodland procession up the hill. For the very beginning, everyone just kind of marvels at like how pretty it is. And then they begin to sing.
I want to know, Drew, is it the theme that Arnie wrote or Wei Hey Ho? Like, which song is it? Because I love the idea of like this acoustic a cappella, everybody just singing like Firelit Walk.
I think ceremonially it's The Courier's Call, like the song, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of a somber moment. We're acknowledging that we're all here together and like remembering like the home hearth fire of Thornvale. Like that's what drives us forward as a team. And then the song ends and there's a half a moment of that silence of the noise disappearing into the dark beyond the lanterns as they walk. And then somebody just like belts into Gone Are the Days When It Was Easy to Ride. And everybody dives into it like rowdy sleepover party at karaoke. Like,
I feel like there's this moment where we see Olivia walking. I feel like Ard has like put her on, like offered her his arm to like be that, to be there. And we have like Denison like standing far away, like watching to see if she takes the arm.
She will. She'll look over to Denison and put her other arm over the, like out, like.
And Denison's like, oh, it's fine. And he like takes that. So the two of them are like walking. Ard is the most charming we have ever seen him in this moment. He is all smiles and good conversation. And he's being incredibly charming and sweet. Maybe a little too sweet and a little soft because that's Ard. But as they finish Wei Hey Ho, someone strikes up Lighthouse. And I feel like there are a couple of people with instruments and they strike up Lighthouse to start playing it. And it's at this moment that people begin to ask people to go to prom with them.
Oh, woof.
I will ask Kieran, June, and Cece, is there anybody you want to ask to prom?
We're going together.
Yes. Yes, yes, and yes. There are.
True.
The music is blaring. People are shouting. And it's almost like this, you know, happy dance. Like if you were to like look from a bird's eye view, you would just see like kids scattering, running while music's playing. Cece skips ahead a few steps and turns to face the friends. The two of them says, "Hey, question. Hi, question. You two.
Yes. Cece has a question.
Yes. And she outstretches one hand to June.
June, high five, Cece.
Cece grabs her hand. She reaches a hand out to Kieran.
Kieran also high five Cece.
Cece grabs Kieran's hand. Will you two be my date to Audrin Prom?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Can you do that?
Are you kidding? You're talking to the boss. Of course
I mean,
you can.
I know. I know that. Are you sure?
Yeah. Are you sure?
I'm positive.
I don't know. You didn't. Wasn't there a thing that went down with Cephas?
Clearly not, if I'm asking you two to prom.
Well, okay, but you said we were going to talk about that later, and we haven't talked about it, so.
We're talking about it right now, and we're saying, I'm saying, will you be my day to prom? Don't make me beg. Don't make me sing a song.
Counter melody to light.
Yeah, just a horrifying dissonance erupts in the back.
Make me sing a song.
June glances at Kieran. Kieran, was there anybody you wanted to ask to prom, or?
No, I'd like to go with you guys.
Okay.
I don't want to step on any toes, but will you be my day to prom?
Cece.
Yes?
Yes.
Yay! And Cece brings the two in for like the biggest powerful bear hug and whispers in their ear, you see how far we've come? Remember when we left? Look at us now.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, right?
Wild.
We can do a lot of cool stuff now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're cool. We're going to prom. Look at us. We were putting our hands in buckets with bugs and getting stabbed by them. And now, look at us going to prom. If our parents could see us now.
Yeah. June disassociates for a second.
Whoops.
Somebody needs to see the Black Lily.
I think the three of you do see Bran ask Fenton to prom in front of you.
We all hold our breath.
Yes.
We're all holding each other.
To which Fenton seems a little standoffish, but like nods and is like, yes. So the two of them are like hold hands as they keep going.
We do golf claps. They do not notice.
June.
Yeah.
You guys are walking along.
Yeah.
Singing. And during this rendition of Lighthouse, there is like a tap on your shoulder.
June turns.
It's Relia from the Black Audryn.
Hey.
And Relia's standing like, hey.
Hey, Relia, what's up?
I'm fine. How are you?
Is she eating something?
Yeah, she's eating something.
What is it?
She's got a piece of beef jerky kind of chewing in the side of her mouth. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. How was dinner?
Good.
Hey, I'm going to do this before I lose my nerve. She reaches like into her pocket and pulls out a firefly daisy. It's a daisy that like glows in the dark with bioluminescence.
Whoa.
And she goes, I was going to ask you last night, but things were kind of whatever. But do you want to go to prom with me?
Oh, yeah.
Hello, couriers, and welcome to The Midroll. I'm Drew, your host and narrator. We would like to invite you to show your support by leaving a star rating and a written review to help boost the show to new listeners who might be interested. We appreciate all of you who have done so already. If you haven't yet, please consider leaving us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or whatever other podcast interface you may be using. A huge, massive, lion bird-sized thank you to everyone who has made Season 2 possible up to this point. If you'd like to continue to show your support beyond tweets, posts, and leaving a review, you are cordially invited to join the One Shot Network Patreon, where you can receive previews, audio treats, bonus content, and an entire secret archive of games and world building for Skyjacks and other fine shows. Check it out at patreon.com/oneshotpodcast. Furthermore, you can support Aaron at patreon.com/AaronCatanoSaez, Ali and Drew at patreon.com/whimsyartifice. That's so cute. And Palomi at ko-fi.com/PalomiSP. We are grateful to each and every one of you. Thank you for going on this journey with us. And with all that out of the way, let's get back in the sky.
Singing way, hey, ho.
Cece and Kieran are right there.
Yeah,
and they're
we're
like,
all still holding hands. Yeah.
See, Cece's waving with the free hand though, just like, hey.
That's beautiful. And awesome. I do not know how this works, but Cece asked me and Kieran to go with her.
Oh, you already have a date.
Well, we're going like as a group.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know how this works. This is my first Audrin prom.
No, it's fine. I mean, I'll see you at prom.
Oh, yeah, well, I'll be there. Well, I'll be there.
You can, like, send me a dance, maybe, I guess?
Well, yes.
If you...
Yes?
Okay.
June, if you
can I do
go,
that?
June, if you want to go with this cool black Audrin person, see, you can totally go. Literally, you asked, like, 3 seconds ago. Yeah, but also, like, this person's so cool. I don't know. And I want you to have a good prom.
Yeah, Cece, why are you whispering? She's right here.
I know, but maybe she can't hear me. Could you, if you want to go,
to which Rulia goes, if you... How about this? Just think about it during the walk. Once we get up to the manor, you can just let me know. How about
okay,
that?
Cool.
You can keep the flower, too.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah. I think you're really cool.
What?
Yeah. I think you're really cool. And you're...
She's like evaporating.
She's just like, wiggling.
I just think you're really cool, and like I like your hair. I think you're cute. And,
what? Karen has moved to a sixth dimension.
And
Karen's in the Neo Scum universe.
Yeah,
right now.
Karen's driving a truck.
I just think that it'd be a lot of fun to go to prom with you. And if you don't want to, it's okay.
June has gone from like mild shock to dead serious, and she's just nodding at everything Relia says.
Just super focused.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll get back to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, great.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
And she like gives like a shy smile and blushes a little bit and turns around and walks away. And we see that Cephas is like, and she like shrugs a little bit, and Cephas is like, what?
June is holding this glow in the dark flower and turns back to her friends, still nodding emphatically.
No, they're dancing. At this point, they're dancing silently.
Cece is dancing and just partying and is like, oh my God. Look,
and then it turns into a vehement head shake. Like, I don't know. I don't know what that was. I don't know what that was. What was that?
You are in demand.
What's happening?
You are in demand. How? You are in demand. Everybody wants to date us.
From the Black Audrin gave you a flower.
Uh-huh.
And asked you to prom.
That's right.
Yeah. But like, why? Why?
Why?
Are you kidding?
Yeah. Look at you.
You're super cool.
Yes. Ah.
You did bird stuff today.
Like, you talk to birds. Who and I, that's the reason I asked you. You think I asked you to prom for like some kind of pity party? I asked you because you could talk to birds and like bench 350.
I mean, we are. And I said yes because we're friends. But also, you're super cool.
Yes.
And Relia thinks you're cool. And you should go to prom with Relia.
Yo!
I don't understand. I think I don't understand like the parameters of what we're supposed to be doing at prom.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Do you know? Because I don't.
I know.
Someone asks you to prom.
Bobby
and
Jean,
you say yes if
like,
you
is at your shoulder. Okay. Suddenly, like, he was not there, and he is there.
So, like, the lantern lights, and he's just there.
And it's just underlit. It's like that light lighting your face with a flashlight from underneath.
We all scream.
Y'all never been to prom before.
I mean, no, we haven't been to prom.
That's
no,
okay. No. That's okay. Let Papa Bobby tell you all about it.
Papa Bobby.
Bobby, no our age.
No one goes to Audrin prom alone.
What?
Not because it's shameful, but because everybody either asks someone or accepts an invitation.
Goodness.
That does lead to odd three-person groups, which I thought I saw forming, and that happens. But you got asked to Audrin prom. Y'all don't get to hang out with anyone from the Black Audrin very often, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
I guess that's true, yeah.
That's what Audrin Prom's all about.
Okay, what are the parameters for going to Audrin Prom with someone?
You arrive at the event together and spend some time around each other.
Okay.
Ooh.
That's doable.
Ooh, Cece's head, Kira's head are bobbing side to side.
If you don't have a good time, you can always peace out.
Really?
That's an unofficial term.
You're just supposed
it's
to spend
now,
some good quality time with people. And Ortwin's like over, like, staring at you guys.
Also underlit.
Also.
And he's kind of green anyway,
he's like green. Kind of blends in. It's no big deal, really. It's just spending time with people. If they like you, you like it. It's fine.
Okay.
But you get a chance to meet other people on other Audrins, you might as well, right?
Why am I whispering? I don't know why. I'm just going to keep whispering. Okay. June, Yeah. Kieran holds June's face.
As you walk.
Yes. Accurate.
Do you want to go to Audrin Prom with Relia?
I don't know. I hadn't considered it until I was asked.
That's not the question. That's not the question. That's not the question.
Okay.
Do you, June Hymnal?
Mm-hmm.
Me. Do you think it would be a good idea, Kieran squeezes June's cheeks, to go with Relia?
To prom?
Yes.
With Relia?
Yeah. Like, do you think you'd have a good time?
I mean, yeah, probably.
Then you should go.
Are you sure? I don't want to hurt your guys' feelings, but I'm going with you.
We have fun with each other all the time.
Yeah, but...
But yeah, but you don't get to have a chance to have fun with people that aren't us all the time.
June, you do realize that you are also June Hymnal, right?
It's my name.
You're the one who... I don't think anyone has ever decided what Audrin they want to be on in front
June
of everyone.
June turns to Ortwin and Kieran's hands are still on her face.
Ortwin's tall, so he's just got like his hand like on your head. You do realize that everyone knows who you are?
No, I do not realize that.
Everyone knows who you are.
Oh, no.
You stood in front of the entire everyone and said no to Fathina. And said, no, I don't agree with what you said. Mm. I think I get to decide my own fate. And so you did.
Did I say no? I don't remember saying
That's
no.
the way I heard
you
it.
You kind of said no.
I heard you threw down a gauntlet and challenged her to a duel.
I didn't do that, Bubba Jean.
Cece told me that you did exactly Cece. That.
I remember it differently, maybe.
That's how I remember. I remember you pulled the sword from the stone, you threw it into the sun, you threw your gauntlet down, and you said, Red Audrin only.
That's not what I said.
Okay.
June takes
Kieran's hands off of
Kieran,
her face.
Kieran takes
Ortwin's hand off of her head. Okay. I again, did not consider any of the things that any of you are saying until this moment. I will now take that into consideration.
Cece starts doing the robot in celebration.
Okay. Let's... continue walking to the house to pick out big fancy clothes to go to a big fancy dance together.
Cool. Yeah. No, that's a good idea. I think we all have a lot to think about right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like how much fun we're gonna have, June. And
so as they all keep walking, I think June, kind of tries to calm down and let all of that weird tension go. But she does take the glow-in-the-dark flower and stick it in the top of her braid.
Braith.
Oh,
you're walking along here. How you feeling? What's going on?
I think Braith is looking around. He's trying to see where the rest of the Red Audrin went because he's feeling real awkward. He just spent like an hour seated with all the captains of every Audrin ship. And
who did you sit next to? Was it Mulden? Was it Alegria? Was it Wiltham? Anyone in particular?
Whatever was closest to the end of the table, because he really didn't want to be close.
Oh, that's Alegria then. Absolutely. Okay. So you sat next to the Yellow Audrin captain.
She's so cool.
And she just talked about battles and things the entire time. She talked about fighting.
The perfect distraction.
Yeah. Do you want to ask anybody to prom?
I think Braith has been too introspective to think about attending with any particular person.
You have a ton of firefly lily daisies, like tons of them. We see you, Braith, walking along, and we look down at your hands, and it's just full of firefly daisies as people have like come up and like given you, like, maybe you want to go to prom with me. I don't know.
I think several of them, I think a few of the bolder people around him just tucked it into his hair and then walked away.
Yeah.
What's Bobby Jean doing?
Bobby Jean is over with the Red Audrin group loudly explaining the rules to prom.
But who's Bobby Jean going to go with?
Bobby Jean has not asked anyone yet. Bobby Jean is like kind of just over there. Right now.
Is Bobby Jean going to ask someone, or is he going to try to find Braith? Is my question.
Out.
That's what I want to find out.
I'll bet, Bobby Jean wants to go talk to Braith, certainly. If you are holding a bouquet of these flowers at the time that you finally make your way over to Bobby Jean, that is cool.
Okay, yeah. I don't think Braith has a decision quite yet.
Okay, that's
He's
totally fine.
Overwhelmed.
It is traditional that, like, You can either answer now or at the end of the walk or at the end of the night after picking out your stuff. Usually people like to figure out who they're going to so they can coordinate and find clothes.
I think
we can make your way to Bobby Jean. You've received a parcel of flowers. You finally fought your way over to the Red Audrin group.
Yeah. Braith is like, since the moment he landed, he's been very nervous, very uncomfortable. There is obviously a lot of attention on him. And all he really wanted to do was like see his friends, and he has barely seen his friends, and this is his first opportunity to see everyone and try to explain what happened without explaining what happened.
I've bargained with madmen who claim to be kings,
singing way, hey, ho.
And I've seen the destruction their tempers can bring,
singing way, hey, ho.
I've ridden the winds over mountain and plain,
singing way, hey, ho.
Just to circle the coast and curse the mariner's name,
singing way, hey, ho.
My father, he told me to never deceive, be a voice to the hopeless and help those in need, and to never be thankful for what you've received,
singing way, hey, ho. Singing way, hey.
At the bottom of the Red Audrin, there are two doors. One is significantly smaller than the other, and it has a very large paper sign that says office on it, and underneath it is a picture of a water cooler.
I don't know, it looks crooked. June walks forward and readjusts the water cooler sign underneath the office sign. Is that better? Does it look better?
I think it looks a little better.
Perfection.
Maybe water cooler is crooked on the paper.
I think it's because the boat is moving. Maybe we're the ones that are crooked, and that is level. We're on a boat, y'all.
Let's just leave it for now. Let's get back to work. Yeah.
I guess. I'm having
writer's
block.
I don't know what they did without us. Writer's block? What do you mean?
I'm having writer's block. I'm writing a game. I want to play more games on the boat, and I'm trying to write this game, and I'm really struggling, and I don't know what to write about. Anytime we go on some kind of magical adventure, I've been trying to chronicle it and write it in my book, and cool. I'm trying to turn it into a cool game because it's kind of like, you know, a journal is fine, but what if you could live the journal and play the journal?
Play the journal has a nice ring to it, yeah.
I was calling it Skyjacks and Sea Monsters or Skyjacks and Mariners, something cool like that, and...
yeah.
But I don't know. I'm just stuck. Nothing cool. We haven't done anything cool in a while.
I don't know that that's true.
We've done a couple cool things recently.
Yeah, and that's documented. Mm-hmm. Like when you stole all that stuff from the rich toots, and in June turned into a bird, and I fell asleep for 3 hours.
Cece, you're always talking about in stories like that how like. The people who, what is that word again? The
vibe?
Protanogus?
The protagonist. The protagonist. Yeah. It's a scientific word for plants.
That the protagonists are like not aware sometimes of how cool the stuff is that they're doing, right? You always talk about that.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. Sometimes they don't realize how cool it is. So like, accept the writer's block right now and know that at some point you're going to have like a big moment where you realize, whoa, that thing was really, really cool and it can go in my game.
Dang.
Or something.
And speaking of, and Cece spins the chair around in just a 360 though, because she just likes to make an entrance. In
like
her journal,
around, yeah.
She opens it up. There's a letter. I've been holding on to this thing for like mad long and I apologize. I forgot.
Whoa, what? That's
okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm a bad employee. Anywho.
No, that's okay.
No.
We won't report you.
Ahem. It's addressed to us, of course, as we are the protagonists. Just... ahem. Dear Red Audrin, my husband and I love to hear all the stories about Thornvale and the good deeds and great adventures. Maybe you're right, June. Maybe we're cool. We're especially intrigued that Thornvale is always in fall year-round. Tis. In our hometown, we love when fall shows up. That's when we get to have a special celebration for everything spooky and magical about the season.
Do you guys have any celebrations like this in Thornvale? How about the Jiltaran Islands or the Honey Smoke Mountains? Yours sincerely, Blaze Frost Cinder and Captain Dusty Dog.
Oh, they sound like protagonists too.
They are no questionable protagonists. So.
Okay. Holidays, festivals.
Spooky stuff in like spooky all year and round.
Magical. No, spooky stuff happens all the time on the islands.
I was going to say, Kieran, you know all about that, right?
Yeah. Like one time there was just 30 to 50 ghost boars running around.
What? What? Feral ghost boars? What did you do? Yeah, ghost hogs?
We didn't really know what to do. We just kind of watched them run around and kids had
did
to
Did you
like,
let the children out in the yard? With
no,
them?
We couldn't let the children out in the yard. We all had to stay inside because it wasn't safe.
Thank that makes goodness. Sense. That's
because
terrifying.
I would ask myself, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with these 30 to 40 feral ghost hogs. And I need help. I need advice.
It's 30 to 50, but yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry I undercut the danger. But do you guys celebrate the hogs or something? Or is it like just ghost stuff in general?
It started happening like every year. And so I think we just kind of made a thing of it, you know? Yeah, we just kind of made a thing of it. Like, oh, if you go outside and you're a kid of a certain age, then the hogs are going to, like, come get you.
Well, that's but spooky. Mm-hmm.
One of my friends was gotten at some point, and he just kind of ended up in a tree and said it was actually super fun. So, yeah.
Did you ever get taken by the hogs?
I mean, on purpose, yes, most definitely. On accident.
Where'd you go?
Wait.
They take you to Hog City?
Were they really ghosts or did they just look like ghosts?
They just look like ghosts. They were like they were like real hogs.
They're rolled in flour?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Which
someone rolled them in flour just to like pull a prank.
And honestly, the level of dedication involved in this hog prank.
That's 30 to 50 wild
30
hogs.
30 to 50 feral hogs, one at a time, taking flour.
That's hard work.
Rolling a hog in it and then letting them loose. That's wild, yo. But it's kind of similar in Thornvale. Do you remember what we do for spooky stuff in Thornvale?
Yeah.
Because I don't. I was hoping you could tell me.
Cece, you were like, you put a pumpkin fully on your head one time.
Oh,
yeah,
that.
I remember that.
I remember because there comes a time every year in Kid Town when the mayor is replaced by Pumpkinhead Pete. And Pumpkinhead Pete rules with an iron fist. And all the rules of Kid Town that are about like, being friendly, being nice to each other, replaced. And it's all about Pumpkinhead Pete rolls up and is like, new mayor in town, pumpkin on my head. There's no rules in Kid Town for one night.
But it's only for Pumpkin Pete.
Only for Pumpkin Pete. No rules apply to Pumpkin Pete. It's like kind of like mischief and pranks. I was younger then. I mean, Pumpkinhead Pete was younger then. And, you know, he grew up and became an important figure in history. But that was the spookiest.
I have a question.
Huh?
Have you always been Pumpkinhead Pete?
No, but I am the one who set Pumpkinhead Pete free. I released him from his ghostly bargain on Kid Town. Yeah.
That's good.
I know. It needed to be done. It was just kind of getting annoying. Pumpkinhead Pete kept throwing eggs. Pumpkinhead Pete kept giving wedgies and causing hijinks. And him and I sat down around a fire and, you know, I banished him into another dimension. I dueled him in a card game.
Was he, like, happy about it, though?
Well, the loss? No, he took that fat L, like, really bad and cried. However, he was happy to be released into the ghost zone.
Now, okay, I was going to say, like, was he cool with it or, like, is he going to come back and, you
know? No. He's gone forever. He actually rode a hog into the distance.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was very large.
I remember you told me that.
Question.
Yes.
What do pumpkin tears look like?
They're little pumpkin seeds, silly.
Thank you for listening to Skyjacks, Courier's Call. Cecilia Witwick was played by Aaron Catano-Saez, who can be found on Twitter at Aaron Catano-Saez or on the podcast All My Fantasy Children. You can further support Aaron's work in voiceover and worldbuilding at patreon.com/AaronCatano-Saez. June Hymnal was played by Allison Grauer, who can be found on Twitter at Dreams to Become. You can further support Allie's creative work at patreon.com/ Whimsy Artifice. This episode was also edited by Allison Grauer. Kiran Rao was played by Palomi Pertep, who can be found on Twitter at PalomiSP. You can hire Palomi for layout and graphic design by visiting her website at palomipertep.com. And I'm Drew Merzieski. You can find me on Twitter at Worlds to Forge, and can further support my storytelling and creative work at patreon.com/whimsyartifice. The original score for this program was composed and performed by Arnie Parrott, who can be found on Twitter at Arnie Parrott. Official artwork was created by Jess Kraczynski, who can be found on Twitter at AngryArtist113. Courier's Call is a spinoff of Campaign Skyjacks on the One Shot Podcast Network. The setting of Sphere was inspired by the music of the Decemberists, and the game Illimat by Keith Baker, published by Together Studios. This podcast uses a modified version of the Cortex Prime system, designed by Cam Banks and published by Fandom Tabletop. Skyjack's Courier's Call is a part of the One Shot Podcast Network. Other One Shot podcasts include
One Shot. The most fun way to learn new games is to play them. On One Shot, you can discover the amazing variety in role-playing games by listening to actual play. Every week, James D'Amato brings you a new episode with a talented cast of improvisers, game designers, and other notable nerds. At least once a month, One Shot features a new system, exploring a wide variety of genres. The stories are self-contained, so you can jump in anywhere, and it's a great way to find your new favorite game. Discover the magic of RPGs with One Shot on your favorite podcast app. And remember, while our show is rated E for everyone, this show was created by adults for adults, so listen at your own discretion.
That's all for this week. Until next time, heed the call, couriers. Right wrongs, do mercies, and take flight.
I'll tell you, my children, there's much I don't know, but the wind, she will take you where'er you must go, and it's better to age than never to grow. Singing way, hey, ho, singing way, hey.